is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories.
Yes. I want to start today's episode with some hardcore hot takes because, wow. I mean, controversy, that really moves a needle.
I guess so. It moves the needle in some direction. What hot take? Maybe we should do a pregame. What is the hot take?
I think that we need to stop pissing on our feet in the showers to stop athlete's foot.
What if you got bit by a jellyfish?
Use cream.
What if you got bit by a stingray?
If you got bit by a stingray or jellyfish, piss all over it. Have someone else do it. Honestly, it'd be nice if you get a hot woman over to do it.
Sure.
Some kind of tight man. So maybe a guy who could pump piss up his own butt and just kind of let the piss fall out of his butt onto the wound. That's fun to do. Something else to do. Something to shake up.
Sure.
The fucking stratosphere. Something to shake up the bedrock of America.
Right, right. So less foot. Peeing in the shower.
I don't know why that's always what people say. People, you know how many times my doctor's like, you've been pissing on your feet today?
Whoa.
I was like, first of all, how'd you get my number?
Right.
Which doctor is this? And then he keeps asking me, hey, you pissing your feet today? And then I'm starting to think, I don't think this is about my foot health.
No, not at all. Well, you know what Judge Judy used to say? Don't piss on my leg and tell me I'm menstruating. Don't piss on my leg. Tell me I'm menstruating. All right, everyone.
What is your hot take, though?
My
Come on, hit him with one. Hit him with one.
I think the Olympics have been pretty fun. That's a hot take.
Chinese propaganda.
This is Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. I'm going to say this. They're not doing a great job of it, because as soon as they pan out from the Olympic Games, because you see the snow, and then they pan out and they're like, oh, this is in a nuclear war zone. And then you're like, that's real sad. So I don't think they are doing a great job of propaganda. Mm-hmm. And why not just allow us to go over to China and collect all their gold.
Benjamin Manchurian Candidate Kissel.
Leprechauns. That's what we need, more leprechauns in the Olympics, because leprechauns love their gold.
You're going to get an angry letter from Peter Dinklage.
Oh, no!
All right? Because you're going to get an angry letter. He's going to get it because Peter Dinklage does not like the idea of someone small going in the front of the bobsled and weighting it down, like what John Candy was guilty of in that other movie, Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings, of course.
He was in trouble for that because, and no one knows, because they said that he cheated in the previous Olympics, and it was because he put a little person in the very...
That was not a little person. He just weighted it down with some weights.
I think it was a tiny person in a weight costume in what I believe is called the toe of the sled, getting
that
back to piss on feet.
But that is true.
Why it is important for you to... I'm glad that you like the Olympics. I'm glad you have some international flavor. I mean, it does make you a Mandarin agent.
I've been going crazy, bro. I learned a lot about curling. It's super exciting. I watch it every 4 years. I watch some downhill sledding, tobogganing. And overall, it's been a really good experience to go and scream at these random people.
It's my favorite things about the Olympics is that Nordic ways of travel are competition to them. Where, like, back in the day, that's how they used to have to get around. It's fascinating. But
absolutely,
I do agree with writer-director Jeremy Gardner, my good friend who made After Midnight together. He said he does not understand how we can have a game, right? These so-called games, right? Where you go, curling is there, it's a game, and you scrub. He doesn't understand how that's considered an international sport, but darts aren't.
Well,
there needs to be more sports in the Olympics for me to get engaged.
I completely agree.
Cornhole. We got B-boys. That's fine. Cornhole
would be huge. The only problem is the team that hosts gets to introduce a new sport. And I'm not sure if darts are really on the forefront.
How about this game?
Of the people's minds.
How about this game? Who will fuck the fat guy at 4 a.m.?
Oh, no, that's a whole other game. I think that's the entertainment industry's game. All right. We also have a couple of updates regarding what happened at the Golden Corral. Because speaking of gold, those people wanted a medal. And a medal for fighting. And we found out why the fight happened. The ruckus.
Group melee.
And dare I say,
Philadelphia.
This was, as far as reasons go for a group melee, It's not dumb, excusable. It's not. But I know.
No.
It's understandable to some degree.
It is not.
To some degree.
This is literally the reason why the 40-person fight happened. Two people were in line for the steak. The first person ordered their steak well done.
I'll have mine well done. Thank you.
You're a pedophile.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. Although I will say this again. If you are at Golden Corral, do you want the rare steak? If I'm at Peter Luger's, I'm getting rare.
But are we adults making love to adults?
No, we're at Golden Corral.
Right after.
You're always a child at Golden Corral. So get the steak well done. I have no problem with that choice.
No, medium. Shoot for medium.
By the way, it's all going to be well
done. Listen, it's all null. It doesn't matter. Because the next person ordered it rare.
I'll have mine rare.
The second person got it. Right? First, because rare takes less time to put together than well done.
Right.
And the person that was like, I ordered first. And then guess what, man? They fought over it. And then two whole families got together. It was Romeo and Juliet all over again but without babies having babies.
I do love a good fight in a Golden Corral. So there you go. I guess steak, it really can bring people together or it can tear people apart.
Tear them apart. But isn't that too bad? Talk about another tearing apart story. This is actually kind of wild in a way. So we talked about last week, again, this Pennsylvania chupacabra that was found, and they are still running the DNA test. It's going to take another 2 weeks for them to find out what this animal is. They believe it's cute. It's got big eyes. They think that it might be some crossbreed between a coyote and a normal dog. They don't know what it is.
Can that happen?
Yeah, that's what they're trying to figure out. They don't know what the hell it is.
You mean to tell me that dogs and coyotes could have been mating this entire time and there's not a bunch of dog-oties out there?
I'm going to put it this way, Kissel. If there's a hole out there, love has been made to it and experiments have been done inside it.
My God. I love dogs. Coyotes, they're kind of fun. I feel like it could be a good merger.
Coyotes are cute, but they are very bad for your dogs. And you got to be careful with little Jerry because they like little dogs and they do kill them and eat them.
Yeah, you can have him. I'm just joking. Jerry's fine.
So this thing, they bring him in there and, this fucking animal escaped, but it's the way that it escaped that is wild. Thursday morning, last week, they showed up. The animal's been, like, very nicely sleeping in a cage up until this point. They came in. Trash was everywhere. The room was ransacked. The bars of the fucking cage were ripped open. Woo! And they said, while that is common amongst dogs, many dogs, they do destroy their holding pens whenever they're put inside, right?
Well, it must be very traumatic for the dog. What do we do as people? It's horrible.
It's really scary. But that made this different was that there were scratch marks going up the wall to a window that was then ripped open. This plastic lining to the window was ripped open, and whatever this fucking thing is, it squirted all the way out. And that's why they're saying fucking weird.
You know what I'm going to name this dog? Nicholas. Ooh, if you can come up with a pun, do it. Nicholas Cage. The Rock. This is Cage the dog,
because
he got out of the rock. We got to get off of this goddamn rock.
This is according to the Wildlife Works. The crate was just demolished. The hospital room was demolished. He had clambered up on a set of shelves, and then he reached over. And this was no easy feat, let me tell you. He managed to stretch over to a window. And these windows are high at the top of the walls. They're not windows you look out of, you know.
Right.
And he chewed the window seals to force the window open. And out he went!
Wow. Well, that is a scary situation for the people of Pittsburgh. You got a chupacabra on the loose, but that being said, if you do see it, stop, pet it, feed it, have fun with it.
What is this? So it says here, right? All right, we got guesses to everything, what it could be. So some people think it's an absurd greyhound. They don't know. They don't know what it is. But apparently, there are many species of hairless dogs. That's fine. Yeah. There's the thing called a Zolo, which is a Mexican hairless. So it could be maybe a crossbreed with that. But there's another thing called
Zorro. You only live once there.
Very good.
Zorro.
You only live once. I don't think that was a Zorro theme.
It's YOLO. You only live once.
Zorro.
If Zorro only lived once, Zolo.
It means yes, sure. But you absolutely throw. I'm destroyed. I'm mentally destroyed. But what you just said. But he apparently there's also an animal called the D hole.
The what hole?
The D hole.
The D hole or the D hole?
D hole.
Well, now, maybe what on earth does that look like?
It could be D-Hole. I don't know.
Whoa.
I don't know.
That's a penis. That's the D-Hole.
Yep.
Isn't so, that nice?
Who fucking knows?
I never
want
to see a cock
with
four legs and a tail. That does not sound fun to me.
I don't think that we're going to be free until we see one.
Yeah, that's really true. Well, so what?
And we have another update. George Washington's teeth are not wood.
Not wood.
The reason why is people maybe thought that they were wood for a period of time. This is true, is that they used to get stained so thoroughly because the ivory that his teeth were made of would get stained very easily. So by the time he was wearing his teeth for several weeks, they'd become black.
Ooh, black.
And then
black as a doll's eyes.
Black as a doll's eyes. Black as George Washington's teeth.
Whoa. Right?
And so they were in his, like, he had problems his whole life. If you notice on the dollar bill, his lips are swollen apparently because his teeth, the fake teeth he had, would protrude like these very horribly made things. Ancient,
well, yeah, but they
could have
just—it's a drawing, so they could have just taken that out.
You're right, and he should fire that Photoshopper. That's what they need. He's that Kim Kardashian man who goes and makes his butt bigger. But then he did buy a bunch of teeth from slaves. Which
evidently.
Which is really a way to do that. I guess that's how they would. There was like a side hustle is that enslaved people would pull out their teeth and sell them. Which, again, it's all about monetizing your hobbies.
I don't know if that was a hobby. I think that was a horrible situation that they found themselves in. But
absolutely.
Nonetheless, there you go. So George Washington's teeth weren't wood. You wouldn't want to think that. Indeed, they were bought by slaves.
We're here to educate. We're here to raise them up. Come on, girls, lift up your tits. Come on, boys, pull down your balls. We're having a good day today. Oh, come on, guys.
Pull them down, lift them up. There we go. Well, what is this show really all about? What's our network all about?
Friendship. Come.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's try to get. What's our whole network all about?
Come.
Friendship.
All right.
Friendship.
I'm sorry.
This story is, this takes place in Logan, Iowa. Now, I'm just going to tell you this, and I think everyone could probably guess as soon as we get into this story. Everyone involved is white. Now, this involves a situation that stemmed from a mayonnaise incident.
A mayonnaise incident.
So Christopher Erblocker, he's 29. He lives in this place called Woodbine. Now, evidently, he absolutely loves mayonnaise. He has just been convicted.
He thinks it's funny.
He has just been convicted of first-degree murder in a 2020 killing of 30-year-old Caleb Solberg. So let's get into what exactly happened in what could only be said as the most Iowa murder in the history of the world.
I guess so, because the only way I would say it was more Iowa is if you pushed a man down in a field and then raped him with corn and then made him vote for Bernie Sanders and then string him up.
Well,
that's
might,
the most Iowa crime of
yeah,
all.
You would probably be against corn subsidies at that point. So investigators have said the men were eating and drinking in a Moorhead bar. Everything sounds pretty good thus far.
Well,
it's December 7th. Normal. December 17th, so you know it's cold. So they're drinking, they're getting drunk, and they're having a good Midwest time. Now, this is when Erblocker put mayonnaise. Now, Erblocker, again, the man who was convicted of murder, he put mayonnaise on Solberg's food.
Now, they really explain in what way he put mayonnaise on his food. I don't know whether or not he covered his food in mayonnaise or if he did like the old like Dumber and Dumber trick where he put some mayonnaise inside of the sandwich.
Maybe.
And then I don't know.
Can I just say this though? As far as I'm going to say air quote spiking somebody's food, at least he spiked it
with
condiment.
Food.
He didn't put a cockroach on it. He didn't put his nutmeg
it's just
on it.
More food.
He just put more mayonnaise on it. And I guarantee you, they're at a sports bar or any kind of bar in Iowa. Any food that's being served is mayonnaise complacent.
Unless
or
he was
complacent, mayonnaise. Yeah, either way, it's
sympathetic.
Welcoming. It's mayonnaise sympathy. There's sympathy for the mayonnaise on any food in the Moorhead bar.
Yes, especially in Iowa. Yes, I agree. Unless he was forced to suck the dick of a man whose last name was Hellman when he was a little boy. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's where it came out of. Maybe there is some hidden rage here. There's another side fight to this. So he put mayonnaise on his food, and it erupted into a fist fight.
So I think that Solberg may have overreacted. I think Erblocker, and then of course we'll get to Erblocker, definitely overreacted. But I think Solberg may have been one of those friends. We all have friends. We all know one friend who has a very hot temper. And then we slowly kind of wean them out over their life. Because if I put mayonnaise on your food, we would not physically tussle. It would be like, what?
Why did you do this? Why would you do this?
Why would you do that? Yeah, because it's still, it's still food.
I would eat
it. But I think this man had a short fuse, and I think he overreacted a bit with the mayonnaise.
And I think that, you know, maybe he was trying to get a rise out of his buddy. So they get into a physical fight. They leave. Finally, Erlbacher's like, fuck you.
Fuck you, bro.
And so the threats, he called Solberg's half-brother, which is going to make you very Iowa. They always have to hit the half-brother.
Yep.
So his half brother, Craig.
Well, they are fully related by blood. He has no feet. Hello.
Come on. No, prosecutors say later that night. So they left, and he was like, "I'm gonna call your fucking brother." And he went. And he called his brother, been like, "I'm gonna get your brother," because she got mad at me for putting mayonnaise on his food, which I don't really understand. Right.
Why the half brother is being called in this situation, but okay.
Why is Erlbacher the one who continues to be mad? He was the one who did the prank. I don't understand.
Sobriety was not paramount either.
No. So prosecutors, later that night, Erlbacher has been driving around all night, stewing, probably nipping out of a bottle.
Absolutely.
He sees Solberg, who is now currently digesting mayonnaise. Now, he's outside what this newspaper generously call a cafe.
Cafe.
A nearby Pisgah.
It's a road bar.
Yeah, sure. Yes, it's just on the fucking, it's on the highway.
Yeah.
And he saw him outside the cafe.
So he's like, that's my friend who I put mayonnaise on the sandwich. Hey, buddy, what's going on? Is that what happened?
No, he ran him down with this truck.
Oh.
He saw him on the street. He hit him with this truck. And then he doubled back.
Oh.
Ran over Solberg again. Doubled back.
Oh.
Ran over Solberg a third time. And he said it to make sure Solberg was dead.
Interesting.
He called the dude's brother-in-law to say, he called the dude's half-brother to say, "I just killed your half-brother. Are you half sad?"
Well, my God. If it's definitely a good day if you're that half-brother to put the phone on mute. Because every phone call seems to be about mayonnaise. Or the fact that you just murdered
my brother.
So Erlbacher, he's in court. He was fighting. He was fighting like tooth and he was fighting by tooth and nail. He was fighting for his life, literally. He wanted to get the reduced. He wanted to get the charge reduced to second degree murder.
Thing is, because he said it was because, all right, okay, hey, listen. All right, we can all agree. I've overreacted.
You overreacted, yes.
But what he was trying to say was that I was drunk and I never intended to kill Solberg.
Right.
You ran over him. Three times.
That's the problem. Because initially, okay.
Told your his half-brother, I did it to make sure he was dead.
And of course, he smushed him like a mayonnaise packet there. You can almost see the mayonnaise all over Iowa road. My thing here is, I understand you're in the Midwest. Being drunk in the Midwest is an excuse. That's what I grew up with. It's okay, you were just drunk. It doesn't really translate to any other places.
If you guys Rochambeau each other and punch each other in the dick and balls and you get mad or some guy falls in the campfire, that's too drunk. You guys all get together in a fishing lodge and all start having sex with each other because all the wives are home. That's just drunk. Everybody's drunk. Well,
but what is not acceptable by Midwest standard is being mean like this to a friend. And I think that's so the judge is like, I hear ya. You're drunk. That's fine. I mean, it's not, but it's fine.
You were there January 6th, and we knew that was a long weekend for you.
He was already incarcerated, perhaps. So he is now looking at significant amount of time behind bars. Now, the one thing about prison.
Mandatory life in prison.
I don't know what the mayonnaise situation is in prison. I will say Erlbacher, that's Christopher Erlbacher, if he does do this stunt again in prison, he will find himself on the wrong end of a dick, and he probably wants to be careful and, as we've always said on the show, keep your mayonnaise to yourself.
Keep it to yourself.
There you go.
I think they get government mayonnaise, which is just Ziploc bags of Lindsey Graham's semen.
And my ladybugs.
You all get some. I'll get little Kias. You all little Kias.
The one thing about the mugshot of this dude, I feel like alcohol was involved, but I feel also like meth may have been involved because he's got the I've been scratching my face all night because I'm trying to stay busy face. I just don't know if alcohol was the paramount.
There's some nature's meth in there where which means there's maybe one or less of a chromosome than he needed to completely operate his brain. I think that's what we're looking at here as well. He does not have the brightest look on his face in that mugshot.
No. What are you in for? Well, Bad joke. It was a bad joke.
It all started with a white cream. And they're like, yeah, me too. I hated being born. And you're like, no. This is about 29 years after my first big white cream. This is the other one.
Absolutely. Be careful out there. Hug your friends. And if your friend does ruin a sandwich or something like that,
let it go.
Let it go and make them buy you a new one. You can make them. Also, the one thing I will say, I think all of us agree, we're not a prank people.
No.
So I understand pure rage. If you are super hungry,
we get mad. Our friends are, we had to acknowledge at one point, we can't do pranks because everybody takes them personally. Everybody gets really upset. So we just let it go and we're just not pranksters. So you just have to know your friends.
Know your friends. So if you think a spurt of mayonnaise on a sandwich would not lead to a laugh.
Soderbergh's gonna go fucking nuts with this one. Because, you know, that's literally, he poured it and be like, crazy. Laughing into the bartender. Oh, he's gonna have a bad night now. Cutting him fucking washing the blood off his tires with a fucking hose.
Oh my God. All right.
Live from your grave.
This is a comedy show, and we cover a lot of comedy here. We do humor, but the one thing we just want to really just say this out loud. I want to say this out loud to our listeners and to anybody, and this is just the truth. If you find yourself at a book burning, it's
don't.
Not good.
No, you should never be around a book burning. These are not good things.
If they are a book burning, unless it is to burn a Real Housewives book together as a group. Believe it. I do. Honestly, I am of the mind that if you are destroying reading material of any way, shape, or form, or this type of censoring, you are destroying. I have been balls deep in Nazis. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. I have been.
What are you, my grandmother?
Hitler. Yes. You did it. You said it. Book burnings are not a good look, and they are they're actually against every single thing that humanity should stand for. So
absolutely,
the fact that there was a big giant book burning that was happening in one of the places where they barely fucking read, they're a bunch of mouth fucking breathers, whatever the fuck they are.
Okay, disagree with that.
The Globe Vision Bible Church, whatever. Fuck these people. I hope they all fucking. Someone should burn them.
The people of Tennessee can read, Henry.
I agree.
You just sound like Bette Midler.
Whoa. You're the first to say that to me in a while. But this guy, this is a guy I want to shout out, you know, because you'll say whatever you want about Satanism. I now know it's all about, like, everyone makes the meme with the guy with the black eyeliner and joking about Satanism and all this kind of shit and how it's cringe. But this man walked into an incredibly dangerous situation. This dude, he walked into a group. He filmed himself with a Bible into the book burning. He threw it into the fire and started screaming, "Hail Satan, pray Satan. I'm keeping my Darwin. I got my Darwin in my car." Like, he was doing this whole long speech.
Keeping his Darwin.
But the guy was surrounded by a group of people that very quickly that were trying to hurt him. And it is really this example to really show, like, that is a way to do. He put his life on the line. Because if those people weren't filming, and I really do believe that they probably could have really hurt him in one way, shape, or form.
Could have turned into a human burning.
Yes.
Which is not good. So, yes, this took place at a Tennessee church, as Henry said. And it wasn't the books that they were burning.
The problem. It's this church that's the problem.
It's this church, of course. The books that they were burning, it's also just so unbelievably stupid.
It's very stupid.
Harry Potter and Twilight, they also burned tarot cards, Ouija boards, which... If you want to summon the fucking devil,
that's how you do it.
Burn a Ouija board. Healing crystals, idol statues, spell books, and anything else tied to what they believe is the occult. Again, as Henry said, look around, and if you're like, oh my God, everyone's screaming and it seems like we're burning books, I'm going to slowly get out of here, reassess my life, and realize this is not the answer. However, if you are an author, hear us out. Flammable
paper.
Burn this book. Sell every book with matches. Because now they just... This church bought more Harry Potter than an elementary school.
Absolutely. They bought more Harry Potter than a turf group in South London. They pushed one of her books into like a ninth printing. That's all you have to do is go and buy... Like, you just have to go and... Yeah. So just, if you're a controversial author, be like... Hey, why don't you try to burn one of my books? It's like, look how much gay sex is in my book. And you see what they do. Yeah, it's like, sweet. Look how much sorcery is in here. You get yourself a second printing, my friend.
This Pentecostal preacher, fucking psychopath, Greg Locke, dude's a fucking maniac. He says they usually do communion on Wednesdays, but the Lord specifically directed me tonight not to do it. So this was the Lord's big plan.
Oh, yes, of course.
We know it was not. So be careful out there. And this man, he looks like he's one of those guys who's cool for Christ. Like, I got tattoos, you know, it's cool. Jesus had 2 tattoos as well.
Whoa.
And he shows you his palm. And the man is the definition of evil hiding in plain sight. So be careful with these people, because again, I'm sure many people went to this congregation looking for love, for friends. And next thing you know, they're surrounded by a book burning. And you're like, again,
what did I do?
How did I get here? I would rather be friends with the guy who put mayonnaise all over my French fries.
Because when it comes down to it, I feel like mayonnaise is getting a bad rap recently. And like, but I feel like mayonnaise is an essential part of the sandwich experience, especially if you mix it. I am saying more often than not, we should be mixing mayonnaise with mustard, diversity with our condiments. What happened to Dijonais?
I completely agree with you. I believe I am the one who has been proponent or a pooponent of great poupon. Also, just lastly on this motherfucker, I don't even want to give him any time, but this brings me back to all of the maniacs that I had to endure as a child. He goes on to say, this is the pastor. He says, there's a mixed multitude in this tent. I hate that. It's such a
whatever.
I ain't breaking bread with witches. You hear me?
Irish people. We got German people. We got Polish people.
Yes, indeed.
Every type of white.
You hear me? I ain't breaking bread with demons. I ain't breaking bread with Freemasons. I ain't breaking bread with occultism. I don't know. Apparently the man is not going to break any bread. Thank God. Bread now comes sliced. I just, this man is so far up his own ass, and I'm assuming we will cover him in some point in the future
for him
molesting a series of children. So anyway,
definitely, for sure.
No matter what, don't hurt art.
Yes.
All right.
Now, speaking of not hurting art, this might be controversial to me even say this, and tell me, because Kissel, I know that unfortunately we're going to be on the same page here. So sidestories@gmail.com. Please let me know what you think. I want to know why. My question is, where's the crime here?
Okay. Let's see if we're on the same page.
So
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure all the stories involve crime today. So
there is a crime here, but it is weird when everybody's consenting. How do you get to the center of this?
Good point. Good point.
So this is in North London. The police raid what they're calling the Sinister Nullo Cult, right? They arrest 7 men after what appears to be a stream that you could have rented, which was a pay-per-view event. We'll go say event where you see. Yes, where you see live footage of members of this group being castrated, and not just balls getting snipped. Their goal, this Nullo group, as they've been calling themselves, their goal is to become Nullos, which is they are trying to get rid of their penis and their balls. So they want a fully smooth groin. And they had a show where they had amateur doctors and vets, which is also weird to say. Their goal is to do it more safe now. They're trying to do it more safe. So a lot of times they'll have a vet come. A vet. Think about this.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I know they know how to snip. They cut balls off half of their days.
All day.
Oh, look at all these balls.
They're the ones probably. They probably cut off more dicks and balls. Than any other human doctor.
But don't you, the only pushback here, again, do whatever you want to do with your life. If you don't want your dick, chop it off, whatever the fuck you want. But get a doctor. Why did they go with a vet? They knew they needed a doctor to the point where they're like, well, at least we got a vet. Couldn't they get anyone who at least took a YouTube class?
Apparently they do. There's a mixture of this, but it's interesting. So I just really want to know, like, so if everybody agreed to do it, why is it a crime? I don't know. So police have arrested several men. There's a guy, the ringleader, who is nicknamed the Eunuch Maker, which is interesting because we actually covered a story in 2020 of two guys from the United States that had called themselves the Eunuch Maker. So I don't know whether or not this is copyright infringement. Is this parallel thinking?
Right.
Is this Carlos Mencia style ripoff?
Right. Absolutely. Joe Rogan, Carlos Mencia. That was quite a feud back in the day where
World
Rogan
War
said,
III.
You stole all my jokes. And Mencia's like,
Titans clashing. to be on the sidelines. But these guys, the neighbor of the Finsbury Park apartment, they told the Sun, it's all very bizarre.
There were police outside the flat for a few days. They were putting everything in plastic bags. It looked like computers and laptops.
Which is, yeah, they were putting computers and laptops. We're trying to figure out what this is. Now, these are extreme examples, right? There's a guy that this group specifically, what they call, it's a smoothie. They want a fully smooth groin. They want a completely, all right. And there's apparently 10 to 15,000 voluntary nullos around the world.
Well, we've been covering this stories like this since the old roundtable days, and we know those stories existed well before we started talking. So I understand if you want to become, you know, a Ken doll or something like that.
You're allowed to choose.
The issue that I think the law enforcement had was the live streaming aspect of it.
I don't know.
Was that one of the issues where they're like, I don't know if you can be putting this on, you know, whatever hub.
There was a Japanese artist that we also, this is one of those that was definitely on Roundtable. Japanese artist Mao Sugiyama, that was a famous story of this. It was in 2012. They had their genitals removed. They froze them and then they cooked them. They served them at a banquet costing 800 pounds a head where people came. This is famous. So people came, five people ended up eating his full dick and his penis and his testicles that he had sauteed with mushrooms and parsley. And the rest of 200 people that arrived either got in a mystery. It was either they got beef or crocodile meat.
I've had crocodile one time. It's fine.
You normally would eat alligator, not crocodile, because in America, I believe most crocodiles are endangered.
So then I've had alligator.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't like to eat things that I think can naturally beat the shit out of me. I feel like I could kill a cow. I think I could do it if I was really hungry.
Predators are not necessarily the most tasty of them. They're not really strong.
They're too strong. You need something nice and fat.
But this is interesting. So they are, this is the subculture, the Nullos. There was one guy named William. He's like, his whole thing was that he's like, when he joined the Nullos, he decided to go ahead and not do it in the part of the group. He went and he did it on his own. He spent good money, probably like 50 G's to do it in a hospital, because he said, the risk of something going wrong is extremely high. I also don't wish to look like Frankenstein at the end of the procedure, which is very interesting. That's true.
I mean, I don't want to be a total nerd, but Frankenstein's monster.
I'm sorry.
I know that you've just lost your dick and balls today. It's been a day. You've had a day. I don't want to be like, oh, here comes the grammar, please. But it's Frankenstein's
actually,
monster.
Actually, dickless man, it's Frankenstein's monster.
So just letting you know that.
This is another guy that makes total sense. It was a castrated vicar, which is like, thank God. All of these guys just should be. Just fucking castrate them. If you're going to be a priest, if you're going to just fucking lose your balls, stop being horny.
It might make it easier for you, to be honest, if you can't use it anyway.
Get rid of it. And then this guy, who is named Benedict after our Nazi Pope.
Oh my God. Nazi is, again, just one of the attributes, because you heard the story about Benedict, right? From 1980 when he was the head of this, he was the bishop of a place, and he was just like, ah, look at all the pedophile priests over here. He was the one who started the process of just being like, put him in Des Moines. Just be like, spread him out.
Send him to the bullpen. You need to go back to the bullpen. And which he's is like, probably, stop acting like this is minor league baseball.
Exactly, which is probably why he had to be one of the only popes in history to retire from being pope.
Oh, no, it was the shoes. It's got to be the shoes. And now he's just like, what this vicar said, it's like, it is nowhere near as weird and difficult to try and become a eunuch now as it was 30 years ago.
That's good.
Now we have doctors who don't even blink when you say you just want to remove your testicles or just add a vagina. I never saw this coming.
Well, good. I want people to be as happy as this company.
You shouldn't see this coming. You're a vicar. You're just supposed to be thinking about fucking God and shit. So you're up there talking about how we all sinned and blah, blah, blah. Something about Easter. Meanwhile, the whole time you're like, hey, wouldn't it be amazing if I could put my balls on top of my penis? And then maybe where my asshole was, I could put a vagina with a clitoris. So then when someone fucks my shit, I also can come.
Is that his whole mind? It really? Well, who knows what his mind is? Again, these are all consenting adults. Whatever they would like to do with their own personal bodies, go ahead and do it. Now, this is one of the issues that I think people are having when it comes to guests being made to sign a waiver so that they would not be responsible if anyone felt
that's
ill.
The old dude. That's from the Japanese guy back in the day at the meal. He got charged for public exposure, that dude, and got arrested. My thing is,
it's public exposure even if your dick is in a soup?
Apparently, so it's in Japan.
Okay, so it's just
in Japan.
Come on. come on. Let my dick be free.
It could be anything. Like, you don't know if it's his real dick and balls. It could be pork shaped like it. You don't fucking know.
You don't know.
But my question is, I don't know what they are, unless they're also getting busted for it. Like, what's going to happen is that we're going to say all this stuff about how consenting adults, it's fine. And then what's going to happen is that those laptops are going to be opened up tomorrow when this show is published, and you're going to see how much child porn was in there.
Buddy,
they might be guilty of something. I think
this is going to be another prime example of the laptop is going to be episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The child porn is on the person who brags about having a penis and how he loves to use it for straight, normal reasons.
What would they do if you lost your dick and balls? What are you horny for?
You just watch My Little Pony stuff. You just watch sports. The wheel. Anything. I mean, who knows? But I feel like these people are allowed to do as they do.
I guess.
And it seems like these are the last people that would have child porno on their laptops, because it seems like they don't want to use their penises for anything other than food.
Unless it's like a sober drug dealer, so he never gets high in his own supply.
Never trust him.
You know what I mean? But that idea, maybe the idea is that maybe because then they can actually control the flow of information if they're not made super hard by all of these torture videos of children, and then they can just be like, yeah, you take them. Oh, yeah, I watched these already. You're not good. I don't like these ones. This one's good. It's a good one. You like this one. But he's not like horny about it. He views it like a businessman.
Sounds like you should be reported and go to jail. But so the six people, the other thing that makes me feel like, again, all consenting adults, the people are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, 70s, and 80s. It sounds like they're just running a great radio station, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. These are not spring chickens. And if it's 60 years old, you're like, finally, I can cut off my cock and balls, and you've been wanting to do it forever. It's like, just do it. Who cares? Do it safe.
Because there's a lot of gender fear in this. Like, I can feel the gender fear waving off it, but it is really strange to also just be like, yeah, it is your fucking dick and balls. I don't really get the big deal. I don't really understand why you can't just do whatever you want.
Also, is there a reason why they're... I was trying to find, and I was looking at other articles as well, not just this fantastic Daily Mail, which is all the trash fit to print. But they call it a cult, and I don't know what the cult... Doesn't a cult have to have, like, these are a list of beliefs? What's the cult here?
How we know if it's a cult is if they restrict your communication, if they change your name, if they change your terminology, if they change the way you speak, if they withhold you from talking to friends and family, like that type of thing. They destroy all your familial connections. So it sounds like a lot of these people are actually operating in society. Apparently two-thirds of nullos don't tell anybody that they don't have any genitals.
Interesting. It's a personal choice.
It's weird. It's very interesting. I mean, we've talked about this quite a bit. Mainly, I think, just because our penises are so important to who we are as people, only just because I'm horny so often, that my penis is like a central figure in my life a lot.
Well, it's like that song, I've grown accustomed to your face, and I've grown accustomed to your head. And it's just like, I know what to do with it. Life is so hard. I'm still figuring out so many things in life.
Everything else is hard.
I just know what to do. I don't...
Everything's easy.
Now, to be fair, if I saw a picture of me and I'm in the ether, right? And you're like, you're going to come and you're going to be a physical form. You're going to be a human being. And they show me a picture of a eunuch and a picture of a big old cock and balls. I'd probably be like, wow, that one looks smoother for the water and swimming.
Sure.
That one goes
down a pipe.
That looks great.
That one's kind of funny. Oh, he'll be a championship skier.
Sure. So it's like, I'm not even in love with it, but I'm just saying I'm used to it.
Yeah,
so I can't have a shakeup like that right now.
Yeah, not right now. No, not in this economy.
No.
With the midterms coming up, I need to fucking focus. I really need to think about who I'm not going to vote for this year.
Yes.
Live from your grave.
Well, let's, this is another story real quick. What I love about this next story. So again, email side stories, lpotl@gmail.com to yell at us about everything. This one is interesting because again, this is about grave robbing. This is in Melbourne. They're really looking for these guys and they're really upset about these people desecrating graves. And it's now happened two nights in a row where they found these mausoleums pried open that seem to be directed. They don't know why they are doing it, but they are specific graves that people are digging up and removing the heads from, the skulls from. And besides just like it being cool, which is, I guess, a part of it.
I don't know, man. It sounds like, you know, I don't get spirituality and religion are two very different things. And I feel like...
Ask Demi Lovato.
Every day, I ask my wife, Demi Lovato. I feel like you're setting yourself up for a haunting. You're setting yourself up for some bad karma. It's a bad idea to go and steal a bunch of skulls. However, let me take this moment to plug our Patreon. We did have a chance to interview King Diamond, and he is the king of all skulls, the king of all wonder and music, and he is just awesome. He so check so out that Patreon interview. Awesome. At some point, that'll be up there in the very near future. So, yeah, these people just stealing a bunch of skulls from a graveyard. I guess it's what you do, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they're there.
The thing that pisses me off the most is all the damage that's been done to the coffins, because these coffins are not cheap, and they need to be... You got to be respectful, because these people have families.
You are just asking, I will say, if you are who knows people that are a magical practitioner and who has done his own bullshit, you are... If you are doing this for magical ends, you are spiritually cruising for a bruising by desecrating graves. It is not it does not hold up well in the universe. People don't like the idea of you digging into someone's final place of rest, if you believe in something like that. So it is interesting. And they're trying to now pin it on Satanists, of course. They're trying to say it's Satanists, but I also don't think they understand how lazy we are. And it's very difficult to go dig up a bunch of graves. Most of the time, to be honest, like our good friends, like my friend Taz, who runs Rest in Pieces in Richmond, Virginia, which is just like, you can go buy bones. Like you can buy this shit.
I can get you a bone, sure.
Like, you can go and get this shit and have it in your house. Yes, is it a little bit more difficult to find a human skull? Yes, but you can source it.
I'm sure
you don't
could.
Have to go seal it unless you were trying to do some form of necromancy. And then just fucking good luck finding a deodorant that'll cover it.
Never underestimate the goofy nature of youth, because I think this is just a group of kids. So the crimes, they were linked to satanic ritual candles. There were crucifixes and letters to Satan that were found in the cemetery. We used to do this all the time. It's just fun.
Of course. It's just fun.
It was like the thing.
It was like the video that Marcus showed last night on the stream where he said the idea of this sex dungeon. And then they went and it was just like four panties on the wall. It said the Church of Fornication on the wall.
They do say police are baffled, but they don't believe that Satanists are to blame because there's a lack of evidence. We'll have fun in graveyards, but really be careful and don't steal. There's just no need to steal the bones. Leave the bones alone.
Fuck
even though
on
I understand.
Top of the grave. Fuck on top of the grave. Yes. Don't disturb the grave. If you got there, have a picnic amongst the graves. Yes. Do the grave rubbings. Those are really fucking cool. Yes, just don't destroy the graves because I guess in the end you wouldn't know. Again, I also say that too. You don't fucking know. You're dead. But you don't know what kind of psychic reverberations you can create.
Also, sometimes you just ruin some good old-fashioned historical art. And again, that's the theme of the episode.
Don't
destroy art.
Destroy art.
All right. Well, I think we're almost up to Hero of the Week.
I think we are.
Yeah, the only other small thing was a Home Depot employee was arrested for swapping store cash with counterfeit bills for years, but good for him.
Ah, whatever. Yeah, it's just fucking Home Depot's fine. Oh, no, I got the story to end it out today.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to read you this police breakdown. This guy, talk about having a night.
A night, okay.
Okay, this comes from Martin County. This is, of course, in Florida. So here we go. Train versus vehicle versus house.
Oh, my God.
38-year-old Bradford Weitzel of Port St. Lucie told Martin County Sheriff's detectives that he couldn't find his car after leaving a Martin County bar early this morning. Right? So he stole one in good faith to locate his own. So he stole the car just like, hey, where's my car? Dude, where's my fucking car?
You got
it's because you drank. You drank a lot. You're a felon now. You've stolen a car, but you know, it's like, I'll just fucking leave it right where I found it. They won't even fucking know it's gone.
No one's going to notice.
It's 5:00 in the morning. They're definitely going to get up to go to work soon.
Right.
He's then said, quote unquote, yada, yada, yada. Like, this is what he did. He doesn't know the details, but he said that somehow he ended up in this new car, this stolen car, on the train tracks, right? He ended up on the train tracks, right? And then he said, somehow the car just stopped dead. The car stopped dead. Huh. He couldn't get it going. It was stuck on the train tracks. And so he left, right? And then as he left, apparently within seconds, he said this. The car got hit by a train, which shot the car. It catapulted it into the front of a home.
Oh, my
where
God.
Where everyone was sleeping.
Oh, no.
They said apparently they freaked out. Everybody was like, oh, like, you know, obviously, because a driverless car went through the front of your house, propelled by a train. Meanwhile, the dude, he was just at this fruit stand nearby, and he said he vandalized the business, which probably people are going like, fuck these lemons. Oh, life gives you lemons. Life gives you lemons. Make lemonade. You realize you also need fucking water and sugar for that.
Right, he's you just start pissing everywhere. Yeah.
And then he tried to steal a forklift.
That is a night.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then what he said that in the end, he saw a police car coming down the street, like literally not for him. No one had called the police yet. And he said he waved down the car himself and told the deputies what was going on to let them know he's still looking for his original car.
Well, good for you. What a night. An even better morning. What happened last night? And it all slowly comes back.
You got to do Advil? Like, that would be my first question. But like, you guys have like a Pedialyte or something?
Henry Thomas, that's the least of your worries, buddy. You remember what happened last night? Do you remember anything? No?
I remember me telling everybody the truth about lemonade.
All right, let's do Hero of the Week. Well, this week's Hero of the Week, it's, this was actually brought to my attention by Henry Thomas Zabrowski.
Thank you.
And,
I know, and I finally really helped because you know how many people like send in things being like, send in my cousin who's like bravely fighting cancer. Like, someone says, right. Like, can you shout out like my this doctor that saved me and my family went out and said like, but, and then yeah. I read these, I just delete them.
Right. Cause this is Hero of the Week. This isn't about nonsense. There is a plow company in the southwestern Michigan. Now, you think about a plow. You think, what's a name for a plow? Herb? Herb the plow?
Buck Johnson.
Buck Johnson the plow. Not anymore. Betty Whiteout. That's the new name of this snow plow. They named it after Betty White.
So the hero is not really Betty White. It's the snow plow that someone named Betty White.
It is indeed the snowplow Betty Whiteout, because as we learned in Philadelphia, snowplows are heroes, and in order to be a hero, you have to use them. So they're going to use it. So the agency started accepting suggestions.
Not in Philly, though.
Not in Philly. That's right.
They are just cars in Philly.
That's right. The names aren't painted on the vehicles, but they will all have to be entered into the Department of Transit's live online snowplow tracker, where, this is from the article, they say, where fans can follow them as they clear the state roads. Now, I think we are going a little bit crazy when it comes to the term fandom. I don't know if snowplows have fans. I don't know anyone who watches snowplow television, but I don't know everybody. So
I don't know everybody.
Maybe there are fans. So they are going to have the Betty White out to cheer on, and it's a really wonderful thing. Gordy Plow, Aaron Burr, and Derek Sleater are among other celebrity-inspired names on this list, which also includes Edgar Allan Snow.
He died of alcoholism.
Uh-huh. And Clearpathria.
That's the dumbest shit.
That's
the dumbest shit.
Clearpathria. Clearpathria.
That means nothing.
So now, because of this new snowplow, Betty Whiteout, this is just a who's who of who could get the snow off of our streets, whether it be Gordy Plow, Aaron Burr, Derek Sleater, Edgar Allan Snow, Clearpathria, or Betty Whiteout. Either way,
Clearpathria sounds like a sexually transmitted disease.
It also sounds like something you say if you're taking a liquid dump and you're not at the bathroom. Clearpathria, please. Also, the runner-up was a cat. Ginger the cat. Now, Ginger the cat is a cat burglar, klepto cat, and she would steal from locals. She would steal all their toys and stuff, and then kind of give them out to different things.
I talked him out of that for the snowplow.
Yeah, you did.
I just have you know as the audience. And so, what I also like to do is here's a big old general shout out to doctors It's you great. Got it.
You got it, nurses.
And
here's thank
shout
you.
Shout out to you guys. Thank you for being out there and not doing experiments on people in concentration camps.
Absolutely not. All right, let's get into some letters here.
Oh, first of all, we want to say I'm sorry. Our intrepid researchers and ourselves were fooled by someone who put in that astral projection story last week. And apparently was from the show Beyond Belief.
But that show is fantastic, and it counts as far as I'm concerned. Do we know, was it Beyond Belief, or was it
Beyond Belief?
Was it to be believed, or was it not to be believed?
I don't know.
Okay. That show was fantastic, though.
But yes, so apparently that story is fake, but I have another, or it was just recycled.
Recycled.
But I have another astral projection story that I'm going to make you fucking hear.
I love it.
There you go. So here, this is also apparently I was wildly wrong in my idea of identifying CDC trucks. People have been really very upset because they say apparently people protest them and they get really mad and try to attack them and destroy the trucks. Which
we
is
did mention. I think we did mention safety as one of the reasons.
Sure,
to,
sure, sure.
Yeah, I think that was mentioned.
I just was being curious boy. Curious boy.
Right, right.
Here we go. In regards to your inquiries about what kind of people the CIA recruits, so I can give you some insight. My father and grandfather were both in the CIA paramilitary. My grandfather was part of the OSS, which we talked about last week in our first episode of our MKUltra series.
Woo.
Now, my grandfather worked in the OSS and was later an original member of the CIA. He was also a Manhattan lawyer, worked for a giant chemical company, and was the headmaster of a boys' school in Long Island.
Jesus.
Which I know, I mean, a lot of people that were really connected. We're going to talk a little bit next week or this week about the idea of how many very famous people were part of the OSS. Julia Child, Carl Jung. He liked to have celebrities.
Julia Childs, by the way, I don't care how many people she's killed because she is just a delight.
No, she fought the Nazis.
She is a wonderful person.
She fought the Nazis.
And she's like my size. She's like 6'7".
She's a big lady. She's a real Janet Reno.
Yes, and play my song.
Now, my family has a ton of crazy stories about both of them, but my favorite one is that my grandmother said that my grandfather used to leave her for the city to go into his law office on, let's say, a Tuesday,
okay,
with a coat, hat, briefcase, whatever, and then he just wouldn't come home for like 10 to 14 days sometimes.
Where'd he go?
Don't know. And then some weekend, he just waltzed in the house as if he was coming home from work. Obviously, this was disturbing and stressful to the family environment, and my grandmother died of lung cancer and alcoholism, so it is difficult out there. Now, my mom's favorite story...
I don't know if you can blame the CIA for that, but
it
okay.
does. It does drive people to stressful, the sure. stress-reducing behavior like drinking and smoking.
Good point.
So my mom's favorite story is when she and my dad were returning from their honeymoon in Acapulco, Mexico, which is apparently a very suspect trip for different reasons. So my mom saw her newly minted father-in-law at the Dallas airport. She grabs my dad and it's like, hey, look, it's your dad. My dad grabs her arm, turns her away and starts walking her away and says, no, it's not. You didn't see him. No explanation was given. Wild. That's fucking, I love that kind of shit.
Weird.
But apparently her dad died of a really rare kind of brain cancer as another member of his five guy team. And then one was found shot in the back of his head in Mexico City. One had a quote unquote heart attack in the New York City. One was suicided to a gunshot in his head, but then he had a ligature mark around his neck. So there's a lot going on there.
That's great. That's fun. All right. Well, interesting.
Here we go. I'm going to see this. Let's see if this astral trajectory story is worth.
Okay. Let's see. I mean, one of them's got to be real, right?
I have a very similar story to the one you told about the woman who was seemingly astral projecting herself into the home of another woman who then thought she was the ghost.
Whoa.
Now, this didn't happen to me directly, but my older brother and my mom. My dad is a pastor. When I was younger, he would go on missionary trips fairly regularly and leave his family, meaning me, my mom, and my siblings behind back in Arizona. On this particular trip, he was in Kenya, and he was gone for several weeks. One day, about 2 weeks into said trip, my mom and my older brother were at home watching TV in the living room, when suddenly, in walks my dad, in full view of both of them, in his tidy whiteies, his home leisure suit of choice. That's how my father was, too.
Sure.
Now he turns, makes eye contact with them, and smiles as they stay seated. He keeps walking out of the room and into my bedroom, which, mind you, does not have an exit. My brother and my mom both get up and follow him, but he is nowhere to be found. Keep in mind, my dad was not and still is not dead, and was literally on the other side of the world when this took place.
Cool.
This is about 20 years ago, and to this day, we still get, still gets brought up from time to time. Of course, my parents, being the super fucking Christian dingbats that they are, believe it was a demonic taunting of sorts.
Whoa!
A crude mockery of a man of God used to try and scare his family while he's out doing his work.
I never heard of a demon in tighty whities walking around.
But... Oh, I've heard of a couple. One was one he liked to really pay close attention to the boys as they clean themselves before competition.
Okay.
And then, I've got a lot of ideas myself, but what I've landed on and what makes the most sense to me is astral projection. If memory serves me right, this occurred at about 1 o'clock in the morning. A quick Google search of time zones will reveal that at the same time, it was about 11 o'clock at night in Kenya, meaning my dad was most likely asleep. Oh. It could be that he missed his home and his skid marked undies so much that he literally took himself there in his sleep and was visible to my mom and brother.
Isn't that nice?
I think it's fucking
all
sweet.
All right. Well, there we go. Any other tales?
Big thing is don't touch a monkey.
Why not?
Everyone just said, just don't touch monkeys. If you see a monkey
out
there,
can you hug one?
Don't touch a fucking monkey.
Even if you have good intentions, you can't touch it.
Yeah, here apparently, this is referred to the CDC truck that crashed and unleashed all those monkeys.
Yeah.
Macaques and other old world native to Africa and Asian monkeys can be naturally asymptomatic carriers of the herpes disease. My assumption is that this group of monkeys was a seizure from a private owner and needed to be held at a quarantine facility until they figured out what to do with them. So to touch on why the truck wasn't labeled again and the driver was hush, you just have to be careful. You just understand that. But don't touch a monkey. If you see a monkey out there, unless it has been brought to you by some kind of safe monkey institute, don't touch a monkey.
All right. Well, good lessons all around today. Don't put mayonnaise on your friend's foods. Don't touch a monkey.
You know, never destroy art.
Never destroy art. There we go. Three lessons.
Live every day knowing for a fact you're not driving to a book burning. just like wake up knowing that you're not going to do it. Even if it's on your schedule, you'll just laugh knowing that like,
can you keep
Thursday
a schedule?
Must have been really upset.
Can you keep a schedule or you burn that as well? I don't know.
I think you should.
I think if you go to a book burning, you're never allowed to hold a piece of paper again.
Ever again. You shouldn't be allowed to. You should figure out how your iPad works. And a lot of times you're not going to have one, I imagine.
Oh, iPad burning.
Ooh, that was a lot of chemicals.
That'll be
fun. A lot of pollution. And then love the fact that you are an enlightened human being that knows that there are things out there you may not have to disagree with, but they have to continue to exist because you cannot destroy art.
No, you cannot. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And I guess that's basically it. Keep on supporting all the shows
Z2.
Here.
We got the comic book coming out in the springtime very soon. Last comic book on the left. You can go on and look that shit up.
Check that out. Soul Plumber. Check out the coffee. We got some weed news coming for you soon-ish. Trying to get into that flower game.
Yes, getting that going.
Wide now on all platforms. And the transition has been... we're doing it as fast as we can and as good as we can. So there's a lot of moving parts. So thanks everyone for your patience.
Seriously, everyone's been fucking awesome. Our team is crunching it. Everybody and you guys have been very patient. And thank you for our growth.
We'll be on all your podcast platforms.
Platforms.
I don't know what happened to me. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Hail yourself.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations. Congratulations for liking us.
Yes.
That's what it means.
It's on you.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.